welcome to Cannon Crew, a weekly podcast discussing the Charleston Battery. Your host, Granite, will be joined by other defenders of the fleet from the Black and Yellow Supporters section, and together they will help fortify and conquer. They are the Cannon Crew.
Welcome to the Cannon Crew podcast, and we're in for a little treat. Our first time doing a special episode. And today's is the Bone Us, as in United States Open Cup episode. It's kind of a little intro. I'm Granite. I'm your host, and I'm joined by Patrick.
What's up, everybody?
Also joined by a junior co-host, Liam.
What's up, man?
And we're joined by Ryan. Ryan. Oh, that's right. Where is Ryan?
Ryan's on a little holiday this weekend, so we'll have to make do with our junior correspondent filling in.
Is he taking some well-earned time off or just taking time off?
I think he's taking a break before he gets to watch a little more MD Myers, so a little R&R from MD.
So we wanted to put this little podcast together, a little extra episode, to talk about the U.S. Open Cup that Battery's playing in and just kind of intro the whole thing to people.
The U.S. Open Cup is a knockout-style tournament in the U.S. where the winner moves on and the loser is out. If the game ends in a tie, it will be decided by extra time and then into penalties.
So it's pretty much a regular kind of tournament, right?
Yeah, pretty straightforward. A little different from the Jägermeister Cup, which they introduced this year, which pretty much cuts the extra time, but something we're all familiar with. Well, game's going to have a winner and a loser, no matter what.
And there's a total of 8 rounds. We're earning in the 4th round by virtue of being a USL championship team. Is that right?
Yeah, not just a USL championship team, because we've seen them in this competition in earlier rounds, but the Battery, because of their placement in last season's standings, earned this position in the round of 32, along with the 8 MLS teams that are entering in this round as well. So, I mean, they get in by virtue of billionaire owners, and we get in on merit. So, something to keep in mind on that one.
Yeah, we'll talk about the inactivity or activity or MLS here in a second at the end of this. Because it's kind of an interesting narrative that kind of underlines everything. Yeah, speaking of teams, so who all is in this tournament?
It's a good question. So there's, for this year's tournament, there's a total of 100 teams that actually qualify. A lot of the amateur clubs have to go through a qualifying process through their own leagues. So there's not a lot of them left at this stage. There's actually 0. But some MLS pro next, whatever teams they want to call themselves these days, they were in it. We'll get to this a little later on as well, because there's only one of those teams left. But USL League One, MLS, and then obviously the USL Championship teams who have all been playing in it besides the top 8 from round 1 on. So quite a variety, pretty much. The whole pyramid of U.S. soccer is across this tournament, as you would want to see in a U.S.-style tournament.
Amateur teams can earn their way into this tournament and be playing up and could potentially win the whole thing.
Correct. Very difficult to do so, but in theory, your local boys out on the pitch on the Sunday league can respectfully get through and figure out how to qualify, and barring you have the talent, you can get there.
That's pretty cool.
Very cool. Something you don't see every day. I know we see it in the FA Cup over in England, but not a lot of teams can just have the option to play for something that means so much and play against professional teams.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting. So I understand if you win, there might be some fun prizes.
Yeah. So first place will get $300,000. Second place receives $100,000. and the furthest team from each league receives $25,000.
What does that mean, Patrick?
So pretty much we're seeing it with New York City FC 2, which is the last MLS Next Pro team left in the tournament. They automatically will be receiving $25,000 just for the fact that they are the furthest from their said group or league to make it to this point. So the furthest point from their respective leagues. So if the MLS somehow bounces every team and the Battery are left, the Battery would get $25,000 in addition to that $300,000 prize once we win it all and beat everybody. So it's kind of a little added bonus. Hey, you may not win it. You may not go the furthest, but if you make it the furthest out of your league, you're going to get some prize money. So it's a little nice incentive to keep the teams wanting to play in it. So the winner of this would get a berth into the 2025 CONCACAF Champions Cup, which as a USL team is pretty much out of your grasp unless you win this tournament. So another huge possibility for said Battery or anyone else in our league. And then a little caveat, the winner of that tournament actually gets to enter in the FIFA World Club World Cup. So an even bigger tournament where you see teams like Barcelona, Man City, PSG, stuff like this. So there are pipeline dreams that the Battery could be playing against a Barcelona in the future.
That's crazy to think that could happen, but it could happen. That's the beauty of this sport, right? You know, this tournament started out, I think it was 1914. Reigning champion last year was the Houston Dynamo, and MLS has won this every year since 2000. So it sounds pretty daunting odds, but you never know.
Yeah, you never know. I mean, we saw a USL championship team last year, or sorry, 2022, get into the final. And previous to that, it was the Battery back in, I believe, 2007, maybe. So it's been a long time since that gap, seeing someone even get to a final, but hopefully it can be an upset year. I mean, it doesn't seem like the MLS take this cup very serious anymore. And it's something I think all of us USL championship fans can rally behind and root for us dead underdogs to win.
Yeah. And a couple of notable matchups. We start our first match is next week, and we're up against Tormenta FC. And we've played them before in preseason. And I think they're a team out of Georgia.
Yeah. So something we've talked about on a previous pod, you listen back and you're wondering, where's that third home game coming in a row? Well, this is it. It's the US Open Cup at home. And lucky for us, we get to have a little preparation. We're on a bit of a heater, but then just being able to stay at home and prepare for this team. I know they're USL League One side, but it's a cup game. So anything can happen. We've seen it throughout football that one game is one game and it's a knockout style. So any preparation, no travel for us will help, which is pretty cool. I think we have a possible cool matchup going on if we win that game. I forget who it was. Brad, do you remember?
Yeah, so if we win this match, we can move on and play Atlanta United or Charlotte Independence. Charlotte Independence is a USL League One team, but it might be pretty nice to go beat up on an MLS team so we keep moving through the rounds.
Yeah, and another little point to look out for is if we move past our game against Tormenta, we will host the next game as well. So they do it on a draw system for doing home one, away one, home two, away two. And we were home one draw. So that means we host the first round that we're in. And if we win, we will host the winner of said Atlanta Charlotte. So pretty cool. Another potential home game for the Battery fans to get behind and support.
If you're new to the sport of soccer, teams usually play in different tournaments throughout the year. They're just not in their regular league. If you watch the EPL, there's all sorts of, you know, there's EPL, there's the FA Cup tournament, there's Champions League. And this is one of these great tournaments where like we were talking about earlier, an amateur team, guys playing on Sunday, can make it all the way and be playing an MLS team and win the cup. Now, this year used to be how many MLS teams?
Only 8 this year.
And why is there only 8?
There's only 8 because, I mean, we have to go back, excuse me, not very far, but in December, there's a little bit of controversy here with even having the MLS and the MLS Next Pro teams in this tournament. So I'm not sure everyone's familiar, but MLS basically were sticking their nose up and saying, we're too good for this. I don't think it's the players themselves. I think it's the owners of these clubs who want to just not be embarrassed by a lower level club or a lower league club. But pretty much they said, we'll send our MLS Next Pro teams, and that's how we're going to treat this tournament. Where the U.S. soccer announced, yeah, we're just going to deny that notion. You're not going to be able to do that. Now, this was happening between December and March, which the tournament started in April, mid-March, April. So this is very recently that we even had a decision where the two parties, the U.S. soccer and the MLS organization, met and compromised that they would go ahead and allow, we say allow, they're forcefully being like, MLS, you're either in or no one's playing in this tournament. You need it as much as everyone else does. It's good for the sport. But they agreed 8 MLS teams to go ahead and participate, which enter that last round we talked about, the round of 32. But the MLS Next Pro clubs had to start from round 1. And we're down to 1 left. So it's kind of a big moral victory for U.S. soccer to say, hey, you only wanted to send these Next Pro club teams, and there's only 1 left. So I don't know if you thought that your level of teams were just far superior to everyone else, but you only have 1 of these clubs left, and it's not going to be an easy journey because USL Championship is taking off, and rightfully so, may be the direction U.S. soccer leans into a little more in the future.
Yeah, and I wanted to go in that a little more in this podcast about the battle between the MLS and USL. And it's probably best as we look into it more and more is to do another special podcast just addressing that subject, the battle going on, and seeing who comes out top. And you see the USL adding expansion teams all the time into smaller towns, smaller communities, and really reaching out to, you know, local communities that have their own clubs, that have their own soccer clubs, you know, kind of like when you, people are familiar with Wrexham, that's their local club in Wrexham. USL is kind of setting itself up for that type of league, which might show the MLS a thing or two. A couple weeks ago, and I don't know if we mentioned the podcast then, but the match between Louisville and I can't remember the other team they were playing, played on a Saturday, and I think CBS had it on. At the same time, an MLS match behind some paywall or something was being played. The viewership for the USL match was greater than the MLS match. So that's, I think it's very telling. People might be tuning in a little more because you just don't watch your own team. You like to watch other teams too in your league because you like to keep an eye on them. So MLS, yeah, go ahead and send your next teams down there so we can beat up on them. And then hopefully we can beat up on some of the MLS teams on the way through too.
Yeah, that's a great point. And for the whole MLS USL championship debate, this next round of US Open Cup gives us a little preview of that, where we actually have 8 matchups between these said clubs. So it's really good to get a measuring stick out and be like, where do you guys actually line up thinking you're better than the USL championship? And us USL championship fans have to step up and get behind these clubs in a whole to say, hey, we support them. We have a chance of knocking most of these MLS clubs out now and not letting them continue on to the round of 16.
And that's the reason why it's important for everybody to show up on match day, especially for this tournament too. Because when you have fans in the stands, that's broadcast out, that shows the people that there's a lot of interest. Liam, as a follower of the Battery or just wanting to watch this tournament, if I'm trying to figure out where I can watch this match, where can I watch it?
Well, you're going to have to dig a little. You can find them at the Bleacher Report app and the main one, ussoccer.com. But if you really dig a lot, you can find a few links that lead you to the Bleacher Report YouTube channel.
Yeah, so they're not making it easy on us fans wanting to watch this thing, which, Liam, I'm sure we're all used to kind of getting the ESPN Plus, the Galazzo Network, even CBS, Fox Sports. I mean, we're getting a little pampered, but hopefully this changes next year. We get a little viewership rights, and maybe we pop it on ESPN.
Well, I think that's a little intro. So if you didn't know about the Cup and the importance of it or its background, its history, hopefully if we provide a little information that you can use and look forward to seeing everybody out there. May kickoff at 7.
Yeah. If anyone's looking for a little more history, just look up who the trophy's named after, Lamar Hunt. There's some interesting facts around this guy, pretty much the father of American sports. So really cool history there. And it's nice seeing a trophy named after someone who had such an impact, not only on U.S. soccer, but U.S. tennis and American football. So a little caveat, if you want to dig a little more, there's plenty of things to look up.
Fantastic. See y'all out on the pitch. Can you feel the thunder?